Would you like to turn to Acts chapter 13, verse 22? Acts chapter 13 and verse 22. After removing Saul, he made David their king. He testified concerning him, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. Subject of tonight's service is King David, probably one of the greatest kings that Israel ever had. The account of David's life contains some of the most famous of the Bible stories. Almost everyone, whether religious or not, knows the story of David defeating the gigantic Goliath. They also know his most famous psalm, the 23rd Psalm, even if they don't know he also wrote a great number of the other psalms in the Bible. There's no doubt that David was a great king, and under his reign the nation of Israel flourished and prospered. He was famous and feared throughout the Middle East during his lifetime, and as we've mentioned, his fame endures even today. And we may wonder why we would even bother to spend time on a man who's been dead some 3,000 years. Well, the short answer is that David achieved in his life something that God wants each one of his children to achieve, something that God wants every one of us here to achieve. David became a man after God's own heart, and the study of his life can teach us how we can do that. But we need to be very clear, very from the start, that David was not perfect. In fact, he was far from it. He failed. And when he failed big. But he kept short accounts with God. There were quite a few times when he sinned, and in that he was no different to us. But he was also quick to confess his failings, and he demonstrated his genuine heart repentance. Those of us who were here this morning heard Stephen tell about this. But David has so much that he can teach us about obedience, faith, and worship. So we need to look at David, a man after God's own heart. It's not something that his devoted followers said about him. It's not even his own opinion of himself. The fact is that this is the testimony that God gave about David. Many people have a good reputation in their lifetimes, and some even obtain a good reputation throughout the world. But there are very few who have a testimony from God, and certainly not such a testimony as David received from him. But what was it about David that brought such a testimony from him, from God? What made David a man after God's own heart? Well, first we need to understand the situation in Israel at this time. Saul was the king of Israel, but he was chosen as king because the people wanted to be like the other nations around them. Up to that point, God had ruled the nation, raising up leaders as they weren't needed. Now, this was how things operated all the way from the time of Moses through to the days of Judges. However, the people of Israel wanted an earthly king, a human king, just like the other nations. And God used the prophet Samuel to warn the Israelites that elevating a man to the throne would bring political corruption and trouble. But, as is often the case, the people ignored God's warning. And when Saul was chosen to be their king, the people were delighted. He was a fine physical specimen, handsome and standing head and shoulders taller than anyone else in Israel. But while he may have been a physical giant among men, he was a spiritual pygmy. Saul was a jealous man who lived for the praise of his people. He tended to overstep his boundaries, and he was guilty of gross disobedience to the commands of the Lord. And this proved to Israel the dangers of a human king. And God rejected Saul as the king of his people. As a result of Saul's rebellion, God chooses a new king to rule Israel. And he chooses a young man named David. And when God chose David, he chose an unlikely candidate for such a lofty and powerful office. In God's choice of David as king, we're allowed to see something of the process that God uses when he would choose someone to work for him. Out of all the people in Israel, God chose the son of Jesse, who was a poor farmer from a tiny hamlet of Bethlehem. The favour of God landed on a boy named David, who was the youngest son of Jesse. David was a young man who was not even respected by the members of his own family. He wasn't tall and handsome. In fact, he was a nobody living in a family of nobodies. Yet by the grace of God, David became the greatest king in the history of the nation of Israel. And he also became an ancestor of the Lord Jesus Christ. He listed among the great heroes of faith in Hebrews 11. During his life, he received great promises and remarkable blessings from the hand of God. But greatest of all, David became a man after God's own heart. And as we've seen, that was not David's own testimony, but the testimony of God. We cannot possibly second-guess God as he chooses David. His reasons are far above our understanding, but we can look at a few things about David that might give us a clue. So what do we think may have prompted God's choice? Well, first off, his choice involves sovereign providence. It's against the backdrop of rebellion and rejection that God begins the process of choosing a new king for Israel. He was ready to raise up a new king, and the people had been made ready to accept a new king. God worked behind the scenes during those difficult days in Israel's history to prepare the way for his plan to be fulfilled. He knew the experience of Saul as an exploiting, jealous and greedy king would prepare God's people for a king of his choosing. But then his choice involved sovereign planning. Samuel is told where to go to find the new king. It appears that the Lord had arranged everything to bring his chosen king into the world at precisely the right moment in history. If you look back at the ancestry of King David, you'll find the hand of God moving in every way and shaping events. One of David's ancestors was a woman named Rahab. She'd been saved out of pagan idolatry, brought into the nation of Israel. She married a man named Salmon, who became the mother of a man named Boaz. In turn, Boaz married a Gentile girl called Ruth, and who had also been brought out of paganism by the sovereign grace of God. And Ruth and Boaz were the great-grandparents of this boy named David. And these events weren't accidental. They were part of a perfect plan, formulated in eternity past and worked out in time. This was not coincidence. It was the mighty hand of God. And then again, God's choice involves sovereign power. Notice the words that the Lord uses. He says, I have found a man. I have. Now, many people have great plans and dreams, but they lack the power to bring them to pass. I think of Martin Luther King, who was in his most famous speech in Washington in 1963, said, I have a dream. And in that 17-minute speech, he laid out his dream for a non-segregated America. Unfortunately, he never saw the dream come true. Just a few months later, he was assassinated in April 1964. But that's not the case with the Lord. What he plans, what he dreams, what he purposes, he will be able to do. Why did God choose David? Well, may I suggest some reasons why God picked David of all the other sons of Jesse, of all the other boys in Israel? Maybe it was because David had a true and genuine faith. Who can forget young David's words to Saul as he prepared to go to face Goliath? He said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came out and took a lamb of the flock, I went out after it. And when it rose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. The Lord who delivered me from the power of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. Don't we wish that we had faith to meet the devil on his own ground, just like David did? David knew that greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. And that's a lesson that we all need to learn. David was also truly grateful. In Psalm 30, David said, oh, that my heart may sing to you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give you thanks forever. David was grateful to God for all he'd done in his life, and he never let it go to his head. And David had a truthful nature. When David sinned, he admitted his sin to God. David knew what kind of person could walk with God. He knew it had to be a person who walked uprightly and worked righteousness and spoke the truth. In his heart, he knew what qualities God looked for, and he desired to have God's approval on his life. Who can forget Psalm 51? This psalm is a heartfelt plea to God to forgive him. After he sinned, David was truly repentant. David's sin with Bathsheba, was recorded in 2 Samuel 11. It's often true that the greater you are, the harder you fall. And David's fall was great indeed. He committed adultery, lying and murder. He'd sinned against God, and he admits it. When he says in 2 Samuel 12 to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." But Nathan said to David, "The Lord has put away your sin, you shall not die." Admitting our sin and asking forgiveness is only half the equation. The other half is repentance, and David did that really well. Psalm 51 is David's great prayer of repentance to God. Yes, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion. Blot out my transgressions, wash away all my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin." David knew what kind of person could walk with God, and he knew it had to be a person who walked uprightly and worked righteousness and spoke the truth. He knew those qualities were what God looked for, and he desired to have God's approval. He had a transparent life. In Psalm 26, he says, "Test me, O Lord, try me and examine my heart and my mind." David prayed that God would examine his life. Now, I wonder whether you and I would be so quick to pray that God would examine our lives. Would we ask God to search me, O God, and know my heart? Try me and know my thoughts. Do you want your life to be so transparent before God? Well, the truth of the matter is, it already is, whether you know it or not. And he trusted God at his word. David knew that God's word was forever settled in the heavens. He realized that God keeping his word was more certain than the sun coming up in the morning. He was so certain of it that he says, "Thy word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against God." God's choice of David wasn't based on criteria that meet the world's expectations. David's early life teaches us that God is looking for men and women who are faithful in the small things, thankful in all things, and truthful always, transparent before him and the world, and who trust totally in his word. It's not all your talents, or even the lack of them, that decides if God will use you. If you are saved, he will use you. God's desire is to use you. Remember, it's he who chooses us first before we choose him. In 1 John 4:19, we're told, we love because he first loved us. We love God because he first loved us. He chose us first, he loved us first, he convicted and called us to himself. God took a boy that everybody ignored and made a king out of him. God knew where David was before David knew he was present. God took him from the shepherd's field and made him a king. When you say God can't do much with me, well, that's evidence that you don't have much faith in God. What he did with David, he can do with each and every one of us. Our plea to him must be that of David in Psalm 51. "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." With that as our prayer, we have a long way to becoming those with God's own heart.
Yes, amen.
Amen.